All right. Before I read this, let me give you a little explanation. I have felt for a while that I did a series that I didn't quite finish, and it was called Manifesting the Sons of God, but it was an area that we call vengeance and recompense. Now, this is something that must be preached in the body of Christ. I think the greater works are based on this. And that I'm now going to start with the same foundation text that we started with Manifesting the Sons of God, and go into Vengeance and Recompense, Part 2. All right, I'm going to read starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now that's, by the way, we're talking about the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the earth is groaning. Groaning under what? Groaning under a curse. Because of Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin, then here comes a curse in the earth. And the earth is groaning under that. I mean, we're trying to do everything, climate, regulations and all kinds of things we're trying to do. But the truth is that the problem is a spiritual problem, and that it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because we're going to have the wisdom to be able to put those things back in line and so forth. But this is something, this teaching today is probably something that you've never heard before. And I want to just put it out there. I'm going to use about 4 Sundays to do this. And I behoove you to take copious notes and be able to really go home and study this thing out and get it for yourself, because this, a lot of your destiny lies in this teaching that I'm talking about right here. Okay. All right. So basically, just a minute. I got my paper here somewhere. Just a minute. Where did I put my big paper? Just a minute. One moment. Un momento. I got it here. Wow, where did I put it? Oh, come on. I can do it without it, but I had myself all outlined. What did I do? Wait a minute. Oh, no, this is not going to happen. Give me Steve a minute. I might have left it in the office there. Turn this mic off. Bible, did you?
No. Oh, okay. Okay.
I got good help. He hid it in my Bible. That's right. No, he didn't. He's a good man. Praise the Lord. Okay. This other side, there's curses.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
You wait till we deal with some of the scriptures.
Hallelujah.
Now, you're in the safe place.
Hallelujah.
Because he's going to get what's outside to take care of you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah.
God's going to do that. Now, this is a message that I even preach in Ghana. And when I taught it, right after that, the pastor's wife, bishop's wife, she couldn't even talk. She just cried and went in the corner and spoke in tongues. Because this is it. Because vengeance has not been preached, we've been victims. And they shall build. Notice, Jesus never built a school. Jesus never built a nursery. He never built an orphanage. Jesus never built a business. Why? Because that wasn't in his time. That's called greater works. And the greater works you're going to do. There's going to be vengeance and recompense, part two. Part two. You can cut the tape off. All right. If God is speaking to your heart about being born again, I want to pray with you. That I'm going to talk about today again is Vengeance and Recompense Part 2 under the Manifesting Sons of God. Now let's go over to Psalm 102, please. Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Okay, in Psalm 102, this is a scripture that we use for this year's, basically a word that God had given for this year's ministry. He said in Psalm 102 in verse 13, "For thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion." Zion symbolizes the church. "For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." Say, set time.
Set time.
Okay, a set time is a time that has been already programmed. It's a time already programmed. God spoke about Israel, that Israel was going to be in bondage for 400 years. He spoke that over in Genesis chapter 15. This was hundreds of years before this happened. In other words, God spoke it to Abram, said, Israel is going to be in bondage. Your seed's going to be in bondage for 400 years. Then at that point, I'm going to bring them out. And so here we see that there is a set time for something to happen, something that has already been programmed. No devil, no government, no man or woman, nobody can stop it from coming to pass. It kind of reminds me of having a child, a baby, a woman in labor. Now, there is nothing that you can do to stop labor. You know, you may be able to induce it from now and then, but you can't stop it. When it's time for that baby to come out, that baby's coming out of there. So my point to you is it's a time that's set, that happens, that God has something to do with, that is regulated by Him, that nothing can stop it. So it's a pre-programmed moment or time. Now, in this, he says in verse 16, "And when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." All right, now, first, we want to talk about this whole idea of vengeance and what it is. Now, let's go down in Psalm chapter 103, and look at verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine," what? "Iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies," Lord have mercy, "who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." I receive that. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." Now, this word judgment here is justice. "The Lord executeth righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed." Now, justice is extremely important to God. In fact, it is the heart of God. The enemy, if he can destroy justice in somebody's life, or in the system, or in a nation, he can crush the hope and the faith of the human heart and perpetuate every manner of evil. If the enemy can destroy justice in a system or a nation, he can crush the hope and faith in the human heart and perpetuate all manner of evil. Now, the Bible talks about that, and over these four weeks, we're going to talk about that. But justice is one of the major or main conditions through which heaven's economy is going to manifest. Justice. Now, if you remember a scripture that was quoted by Dr. Martin Luther King, and it's found over in Amos. Let's go over there, please, very quickly. And Amos chapter 9. I told you to put something at your table of contents because I got to move this afternoon and go on with these scriptures. Amos chapter 5. And in Amos chapter 5, verse 24, "But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream." Now, he preached that. Let justice run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Now, why did he preach that? Because he was talking about injustice that's in our society. And over in the Living Bible, English Bible, it says, "Let justice roll down like a river, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." So now this whole idea or theme of justice is important. If you go to Washington and Supreme Court building, you'll see that there are some scales. And on these scales, which symbolize justice or the legal part of things, then one has to balance out the other. You saw a skit up here right now, the term that is mostly used by the Apostle Paul to talk about how Jesus made us whole. It uses the word justification, that he makes it so God treats us just like we never did it. In fact, if you look, no, please don't go there. Let me just tell you about it. If over in Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, just put it up on the board, 43 and 25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. I will not remember thy sins. In other words, God is saying, hey, I'm going to blot out your transgressions for my own sake. Now, this is a prophetic word that is spoken by Isaiah for the time that Jesus will come. He's saying, I'm going to blot out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, up until this time in the Old Testament, that God had people who were in the earth of his people, and because of their sins, he introduced a priesthood. And he raised up a priest who could come into the Holy of Holies, and actually that person could do a sacrifice that would cause something called atonement. Atonement is the covering of sin, so that God could continue to bless Israel, their sins would be covered. But not in the New Testament. We have a word called remission. And remission is sending away. Now, he said here, I'm going to blot out your transgressions. So blot means wipe it out. I don't know whether you've ever used anything like spot remover. And you take that spot remover and you put it on that spot, and that spot disappears. The first thing you say is, where did that spot go? It went somewhere. It just gone. Well, the same thing about blotting out our sins. He didn't take your sins and put them in the past. Your sins are not in your history. You don't have any. Now, this is very important for you to figure out. Because that's the new thing. He remits it. It's sent away, never to be seen again. It's not in your past. All right, but anyway, praise God. All right, so this is now a idea, this idea of justice. It's something now that God is a key to this vengeance and recompense teaching that I'm now going to unfold to you. Let's go to Matthew's gospel in chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. I said Matthew chapter 4. Listen at that. I bind you, devil. Matthew chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Let me know when you get to Matthew chapter 12, please. Look what it says here in verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, how then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Say, kingdom of God. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first do what to the strong man? Bind the strong man. And then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Oh, boy. All right. See, can we open this up for you? Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He did not come preaching religion. He said, I am come that they might have what? Life. And have it how? More abundantly. Now, religion was here when he got here. And he wasn't interested in that. But he was preaching something that was on a higher level that talked about a new kingdom. And there was a kingdom in the earth that was operating now that was dominating this earth called the kingdom of darkness. Satan was the ruler, a puppet master over that kingdom. Now Jesus comes preaching another kingdom, but he says, or how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? So, when the stronger, Lord have mercy. Could you just write down a scriptural reference, please? Luke 11 and chapter 20 and verses 21 and 22. He said, but verse 22 said, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Satan had everybody locked up. Even the ones that didn't know they were locked up. He was controlling the masses. He would set up people on certain kingdoms, the kingdom of media, the kingdom of arts and entertainment, the kingdom of education, and he would work his will in those kingdoms. Jesus came from a new kingdom, or the same kingdom that was in the garden that Adam lost. And he was reintroducing that kingdom and says, wait a minute, I'm coming with another kingdom that's going to rule over everything. You with me? So now he talks about binding the strong man. The strong man is the one behind that kingdom of darkness that's keeping it in place. So he is getting people now to stop focusing in on people as their problem. Because the tendency is to blame other folk. But in this, Paul talks about a revelation. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. So we don't wrestle against it. We don't wrestle against people. People are not your problem. Your problem is the devil. Say amen to that. A couple of places that I'd like to show you. Put something right there, please. And let's go over to Acts. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And I want to start reading at verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of people. He didn't say anything about people. He said they were all oppressed by who? The devil. For God was with him. Let's go over to Revelation, please. And let's go over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Are you there? Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, look what it says in verse 9. Now the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? Now, how much of the world then was not deceived? None. Everybody was deceived. In the world. You're in the world, but not what? Of the world. Okay? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John is just before Revelation then. 1 John and 1 John chapter 4. Let me know when you get to 1 John chapter 4. Hello. I said chapter 4, yes. No, I meant chapter 5. Chapter 5, please. Thank you. You're there? Look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in what? Wickedness. I'll give you another translation. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. So the devil's controlling it. All right, now I want to establish that first. One more scripture. Isaiah chapter 14, please. I want you to be convinced that people are not your problem. Because as long as you think people are your problem, you are in trouble. I said, as long as you think people are your problem, you are in trouble. I didn't get a lot of amens on that, but you better say amen. Look what it says here in verse 12. This is Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Ooh, that's Lucifer again. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did its weaken nations? Now, Lucifer was Satan's name, as he was the archangel that covered the throne of God in heaven. But he rebelled against God and got thrown out. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Look at all those eyes. I will be like the Most High God. It's always I with Lucifer. It's about me. Verse 15. When people are dealing with Lucifer, that's what they feel. It's about them. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit, and they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did it shake kingdoms, that made the world as a what? Wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Wow. Is this the man? I mean, that's what you're going to say when things are all over. You're going to see him say, are you following what I'm saying? Y'all got that, didn't you? You're going to wonder, is this the man? You mean he's the one that made, destroyed our cities? A whole city? This man here? Now, you got the picture. So, now what we've got to do is pull back from people. I'm about to say something. When we went over in Ghana just recently, they took us during the daytime to the coast of the areas that we were, the seacoast. And this, we visited a castle called El Nino Castle. And it's in Ghana, West Africa. And we saw where they actually kept the slaves before they shipped them out over to the U.S., over to Europe, over to the Caribbean, and so forth. Slaves. They showed us everything. They showed us how they kept them in chains. They showed us so forth and so on, what happened to them when they rebelled, so forth, took us up, and this castle had an underground part, and then it had other parts on top. They showed us where they kept the men, showed us where they kept the women, and so forth. Now, understand, they would lock them up there, and there were no windows or anything like that, so it was hot in there, and they had one little window in the door, and so forth. They kept all these people in there, and so forth. Now, understand, there were no bathrooms, so they had to go to the bathroom right there in the place, and they had to sleep on the floor and so forth and so on. Now, you can imagine the smell that's coming out of this place. Women, same thing. Women's menstrual, all that, they were sleeping in. But also, he said, look, right on the top of that, on the next floor, is a church. Now, here's down here, this inhumane treatment. And up here, we're having services. Got it? Now, what's wrong with that picture? Got it? Now, only thing I'm trying to point out to you now, after they took us on the tour, they came back and they said, hey, now as we have taken you on this tour, the reason for this tour is not to make anyone angry. For the reason for this tour is to make it so we see what happens so it'll never happen again. It's the reason for that tour. Now, if you remember, President Obama went on the tour as well. He didn't go on that El Nino. He went to the next one, which was a stone throw away, which we could see it. He didn't go into one castle that we went in because there was only one way in and one way out, and the security didn't want him to go in that. Apparently, that's what I heard. So my point to you is that I saw that. Now, what could make a person have that kind of treatment on that floor and then have services right on top of that, and it never bothered them? Say amen, come on now. Now, we're talking about justice, because I just took you through that in this, you must remember who the culprit is. Lord have mercy, you're a little bit slow now. The devil is the engineer of every robbery in your life, every shame that you have suffered. I'm just trying to get you to out. See, if you don't not saved, you don't know this. If you're not saved, you are fighting a natural battle, and guarantee you just have to fight it again and fight it again. But if you can get the strong man, so in this, I want you to turn to Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Stay with me now. It's going to be good. I said it's going to be good. Somebody say good news. It'll be good news for everybody. No matter who you are, where you're from, or what your pedigree is, it's going to be good for you. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Say firstborn. You'll notice that Jesus is no longer called the only begotten Son of God once you get out of the Gospels, because after that, he is not the only begotten Son of God. I am also a begotten Son of God, but he is now called the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. Underline that, because you just saw the judge up here. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. So notice what we just read, that God is the judge. So now when we're talking about wrong being done, the way that we can cut some things off, and the way that we can get a recompense, is that we must bring the right party to the heavenly court. All right, now let's deal with this for just a minute. The kingdom, one man said that the kingdom really hasn't been preached in over 400 years. That's what he said. Now, religion's been preached. I'm a Baptist, I'm preaching this. I'm a Methodist, I'm preaching this. I'm a Church of God in Christ, I'm preaching this. I'm Pentecostal Holiness, I'm preaching this. Now let's go overseas. I'm the Anglican Church, I'm preaching this. But one of them churches was over those slaves. See, and religion blinds folk. Because it's all about you coming to a place and doing something and trying to act nice for a few hours and then going back and do what you do. But the kingdom is in you. And wherever you go, God is there convicting you, compelling you, come on now, guiding you, speaking to you. So now The kingdom must be preached. And Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, what is it about? It's not so much about you going to heaven, because if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, he said you are already seated there with him in heavenly places. So it tells me I got heaven made. What I got to do now is work on getting heaven, come on, down to this earth. And heaven is a place of justice. Say amen to that. So you and I are going to be carriers of justice. Now, Jesus said something. He that is not with me, come on, is against me. Is against me. So I'm saying religion, look at the religion now that spawned terrorism. That's religion, folks. Come on now. They're saying if you don't belong to that, you're an infidel. Yes, say amen to that. That's what they say. How about another religion? Even KKK. It got a cross. They burn a cross, man. Now just hear what I'm saying now, because we're not talking about people. You better hear what I'm saying. Not talking about people. I'm saying that all of them are walking in darkness. If they don't have the light of the kingdom, and if they are not depending on the kingdom and see God as their source, then the light of the kingdom is not shining in them. The Apostle Paul was an extremely religious man, but he was a terrorist. He would come in people's house and they confess Christ as the Lord and Savior, and he'd grab them and pull them out of there and hear their children crying to mama, mama, don't go. And Paul had no mercy. How about the man who was hauling some of those slaves from those coastlines, and he came in, but one day something happened to him. He once was blind, but now he could see. And he came up with a song. Amazing grace, how sweet. Let me tell you, some of us, if you knew what you know now, you wouldn't have did what you did then. Come on now. Say amen to this. So don't be trying to take the splinter out of somebody else's eye without first taking that stick out of your own. Say amen. No, saints. If you get out of love, yes, none of this will work.
Yes, sir.
You've got to stay in love. So it's interesting here. Justice. So now let's see how that fits into what we're talking about. Let's go to two places. Let's go to Luke chapter 4 and then Isaiah chapter 61. Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 61. All right, praise the Lord. Say, he's worthy to be praised.
He's worthy to be praised.
Praise God. All right. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. And let's look at what happened here. Are you with me? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus was given a book of the prophet Isaiah. Verse 17, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now notice what he did. He now read out of Isaiah. And he read out of Isaiah chapter 61. Let's go back and see what he read. Isaiah 61. Now in this, I want to read it, exactly what it says here. Excuse me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed their flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double. For your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Come on down to verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. That word judgment translates, guess what? Justice. I hate robbery for a burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. All right. Now, I want to read this out of another translation, the Living Bible translation. I'm not sure whether you have that translation or not. The Living Bible translation, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to the captives, and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come, and the day of his wrath to their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness, for God has planted them like a strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. And they shall rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities long ago destroyed, reviving them through though they have lain there many generations. I won't read any more. Over in verse 8 he says, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. And their descendants shall be known and honored among the nations. And all that realize that they are a people of God shall realize that they are a people that God has blessed. All right. Now, it's just, I'm not going to be with you long. I'm not going to be alone. Let me just go through this. So, Jesus came to preach that. So in this, we're talking about vengeance and recompense. Vengeance has nothing to do with hate. It's nothing to do with resentment or some emotional retaliation. Vengeance proceeds from God's love of justice, the necessity of punishing offenders. Recompense. Recompense means to compensate. It means to repay, to return an equivalent of anything done or suffered, to make amends. Now, I want you to see something. There is a former and latter rain. Jesus ministered mainly under the former. Let's go and look at Luke chapter 9, please, and starting at verse 53. Luke 9, 53. I just told you vengeance had nothing to do with hate or resentment. Now understand, when Jesus preached, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and sat down. He didn't say anything about vengeance because vengeance was not a part of his ministry. He was under the former reign. But this justice, Lord have mercy. As soon as Jesus left and the Holy Ghost came, the day of vengeance came upon the enemies of God's people. Lord have mercy. Stay with me. Look at verse 53. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Look at me. Jesus went to preach, went through that village. He was headed to Jerusalem. Now, he had prayed for Jerusalem. He had not prayed for that village. He was heading to Jerusalem because now is the time for his passion, that he was going to give his life for all mankind, humanity. So what happened? He's going to Jerusalem, and he went to the village, and the disciples were used to people coming out and so forth. Nobody came out. Look at the reaction of the disciples. And when the disciples, James and John, saw that, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down and from heaven and burn this bunch? I'm just talking about my own words now. Consume them just like Elias did. But he turned and rebuked them. He said, now you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Whoa. Whoa. Look how he handled this case. Considering somebody that didn't come out to see him, so forth and so on. Look how he told his disciples to handle that. Now, this is Jesus' ministry. But once he left, the Holy Ghost started. Let's look at his ministry. Let's turn to Acts and chapter 13. Come on, I'm going to help you now. I said I'm going to help you now. In Acts, and chapter 13, glory to God. This is good stuff. Now, remember, this is time for God's favor. Now, what is favor? Remember, favor means to support. It means to assist. It means, now, I'm not talking about, hey, you know, you favor your daddy. I'm not talking about that favor. That, again, we got the wrong definition. That's not in the Bible. Favor has to do with divine assistance. It has to do with God providing advantages to you above everybody else. Him showing you special privileges. Him featuring you. Him bringing you into a place of making it easy for you. Him granting you special privileges, providing advantages for you. You ought to expect favor everywhere you go. You go into a place, you're supposed to expect favor to come in. Say amen now. So look what it says here, Acts chapter 13. Now, this is when they're going, and Paul had joined them because Paul had gotten born again now and so forth. And verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them. Let's go to verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country. Deputy means governor. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, prudent means got some sense, intelligent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and he said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, Jesus would have ignored Elymas. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist in the darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now the deputy, when he saw this was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now wait a minute, I want to see something here. I want to see vengeance taken over. I want you to see the fact that Jesus, gone, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, but now the Holy Ghost is here. Now Jesus had made a statement. He said that upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the first job of the Holy Ghost in these last days is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing will escape them. Him. Are you with me here? Now, you got to understand, it's not about hatred. It's about judgment. It's about justice. It's about something that God is going to do through you, that the set time has come, that nothing is going to be able to stop you, because the favor of God is working for you, and now you cannot any longer be molested. You cannot any longer be assaulted. You can no longer be harassed. You can no longer be tormented. God is going to judge anyone who wants to take you on, because he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. God is going to build his church and execute vengeance upon anybody that's trying to stop it and stand in the way. The Holy Ghost has come now. He's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I'm here to tell you right now that God, it's not intended for you to have to fight your own battles anymore. You're not going to have to get even with anybody. So whatever from now on has been tampering with your destiny in God is going to have to be dealt with. Whatever's been afflicting your body is going to have to be dealt with. Whatever's been humiliating you, whatever's been against your peace and your progress, against your career, your business, your children, everything else is now being put down, because God vengeance is now taken over. Say amen to that. Now, we can't leave off recompense. Turn with me, Rasatalabahanda. Let's go to Hebrews first. And hey, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This must be preached because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That how can they hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except the Holy Ghost sends it? Look what he says in Hebrews chapter 10. Have you got Hebrews chapter 10? I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 30, if you will. For we know him that has said what? Vengeance, come on, belongeth to me. Who is me? God. And who will recompense? God will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall what? He's going to judge his people. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 3, if you will, if you got time. Praise God. Exodus chapter 3, I told you that when the latter rain comes, that's when the vengeance begins. And I'm saying that it begins in the day of vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people. Now, this is going to beautify the church. And I'm saying that everything that has been done to you, heaven has monitored it. Heaven has kept records of every bit of injustice that's been done to his people. No matter what your background, no matter where you come from, everything that has been embezzled from you, extorted from you, stolen from you, defrauded from you, exploited from you, scammed from you, robbed from you, substituted for you, everything that's been resisting you is now going to be restored. Everything is going to be brought back because now is a set time of God's favor among his people. Now, I want you to see something here. This is when Israel, this is when Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and God got Moses and sent him. He said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who are you? So he demonstrated the fact that God sent him by throwing a stick down, turned into a serpent. Pharaoh called his magicians and sorcerers in. They threw their stick down. It turned into snakes. But then Moses' snake ate up their snakes and then turned back into the rod. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says that he hung on the cross and became a curse for us. It was a type of serpent on the cross. But once he then ate up our sin and went down to hell and came back up, he turned back into the rod. I'm telling you, he's a rod of the stem of Jesse. And so now, what am I saying here? Over in Exodus chapter 4, it's time for them to come out. And God has picked a man to bring them out. And I'm telling you, because vengeance hasn't been preached, we still been victims. We still haven't known that some things supposed to be ours, supposed to come to us. It's supposed to be ours right now. It shouldn't be that we're struggling trying to get that business started. It shouldn't be. Are y'all with me here? And I'm saying this, that notice, he said in verse 19, Lord have mercy, glory to God. He said in verse 19, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he's going to let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. Now, you got to underline that. When you go, you shall not go empty. Underline it again. When you go, you shall not go empty. I'm here to tell you that I think what has happened is we got saved, but we didn't bring our stuff. I'm saying that, you see, it was never meant, let me read my notes here. It was never meant that redemption is not complete without divine provision. I'm gonna say it again. Redemption is not complete without divine provision. You see, that's what happened to the slave in America. They had the Emancipation Proclamation, but they were supposed to release him with 40 acres and a mule. Guess what? They released them, but they kept back the 40 acres and the mule. I'm telling you right now, you've been saved, but you got saved and didn't get your stuff. You were supposed to get your bills paid off. You were supposed to get a new car. You were supposed to get a new home. You better hear what I'm telling you. Something coming. The enemy tried to get Moses to compromise. He said, listen, okay, we're going to let you go. That's because so many plagues came in. He said, but Moses, when I let you go, listen, just leave the kids back here with us. You see, he's trying to keep some of the people. I'm saying that somehow we were not taught that when we got redeemed, we got divine provision that was supposed to come with that. You just got saved, but you still got your bills. You got saved, but your kids' tuition is still due. I'm saying something. I'm saying we got something coming, and you better hear what I'm telling you. There's something that's owed you right now, and God has kept track of it, and now it's been multiplied times seven, and we gonna call it in these 4 weeks. Yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. So whatever now has been tampering with your destiny in God, whatever's been afflicting you and humiliating you, you don't need to worry about it no more, because the days of you being messed with by the devil are over. I'm saying right now, this is a day of your release, and everything. Now you gotta hear what the Spirit of God said. He said, and they shall build. You see, there's some building that's going on in your life, but whenever building is featured by God, God always does things dramatically. I'm saying there's gonna be a dramatic release of these people. The Red Sea is gonna split. I'm saying there's gonna be a dramatic release in your life. Some miracles are gonna start taking place. And I'm saying this, whenever God does building, he does it with the divine speed. I'm telling you, it was supposed to take Nehemiah years to build that temple, but it took him 53 weeks. I'm saying to you, it's supposed to take a long time, but notice, one day the children of Israel were in slavery and they were broke, but the next day they were loaded. They were millionaires. I'm saying the speed by which you will be recovering what's yours is going to be phenomenal. That's all I got. Give the Lord. Now, have to do with this is believe it. I know some of you, you may not be at a place where you can believe yet. But we're going to show you. In these 4 weeks, we're going to get our stuff. One day they were paupers, another day they were prosperous. Take a seat. The hand of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
On one side of God's hand is blessing.
Hallelujah.